Master's study. We're going to continue our study as we've been looking at the enemies of the Christian. The last 2 weeks we looked at the world and the flesh, and now we're going to look at the final and third enemy of the Christian today on the pastor's study, the devil. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord for a word of prayer. Father, we ask you this day, dear Lord, to bless our time and study of thy precious words, Father. Father, we pray for the saint of God listening today that they would be strengthened, encouraged, and built up in the things of the Lord. Help them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, we do pray for that lost soul that may be listening today, that's lost in their sin on their way to hell. We pray this would be the day that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ from the heart, believing in their heart that he died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day to save them from their sins, to pay for their sins, to save them from going to hell, and to secure them a home in heaven. Father, we along with the angels of heaven will rejoice over the lost sinner coming to Jesus Christ. Father, bless our time together now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to talk about the devil. And I know that my experience in the ministry is anytime you talk about our enemy, the devil, he doesn't like it. Amen. But nonetheless, as I've tried over these last 8 years on the pastor's study to preach the whole counsel of God, and we're going to talk about our enemy, the devil, today. Now, the devil is not some make-believe red character with horns and a forked tail. He's not one to joke about. And his existence and motive with respect to man is certainly not a laughing matter. He is the second most powerful being in the universe outside of the Godhead. He is the personification of evil, wickedness, and ungodliness. His desire regarding man is to see all of us in the lake of fire. If you take him too lightly, he will lead you to hell and then laugh while you burn in that literal, physical lake of fire forever. He is the ultimate enemy, you see. Regardless of what you've been told, you have little power over him other than to resist him with the armor of God as found in Ephesians chapter 6. My dear friend, don't be foolish enough to believe that you can handle him alone. We're told in the Word of God in James chapter 4, verse 7, to submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The one called the man of sin, the roaring lion, the beast, the son of perdition, to name a few titles the Bible gives him. The archenemy of God Almighty is the one we will learn about in this study today. Now let's look a little bit about, let's look at his origin for a moment. The devil, or Lucifer as he was originally called, is a created being. The same God that created man also created all the heavenly creatures, including Lucifer. Now, the Bible speaks of angels, cherubims, and seraphims. Although some preachers call all heavenly creatures angels, this is not scriptural. The Bible plainly indicates a difference in these heavenly creatures. And to place them in one group is to show an unbelievable ignorance of the Word of God. Lucifer was a cherubim, was a cherub, and not an angel as some would have you to believe. He was not created as an angel, was never referred to as an angel in the Bible, and never will be an angel. The Bible says he appears as an angel of light. It doesn't say he is an angel. We will deal with this issue later on in more detail. Now let's turn to Ezekiel 28 together. Ezekiel chapter 28. And in Ezekiel 28, we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 19. Ezekiel 28, then, verses 14 through 19. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mount of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub. From the midst of the stones of fire, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be anymore. There, in just a few verses, you have a picture of the anointed cherub Lucifer. His position, his fall from heaven, and his ultimate end. He will be joined in his final home by all the false religions of the world, all the cults, all professing Christians teaching a false gospel, all the Christ-rejecting atheists, liberals, secular humanists, and all those that put off being saved and die in their sin. Like most unsaved people today, his problem is his pride. If you are unsaved, it is largely because of your pride. The fact that you refuse to give up your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You say, no, that's not it. I just don't believe. That's not it. Truth is, you have not studied the book he left as a guide showing you how to get rid of your sin and to obtain eternal life. If you had, it, his word, would have convicted you of sin and judgment to come. Or maybe you are under conviction and afraid you will have to give up something if you get saved. Either way, you have rejected the one who died for your sins. The one who said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. And Jesus also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, in John 14:6. So get it right before it's too late. Lucifer was created as a beautiful and powerful creature. As the fifth cherub, he covered the top of God's throne until he was cast down from that position because of his pride. Turn to Isaiah 14 with me, if you would. Isaiah chapter 14. In Isaiah chapter 14, let's look together at verses 12 through 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. The sad part here is that the devil will take so many unbelievers with him to that eternal lake of fire. As we mentioned earlier, Lucifer was created as a cherub and not an angel. A cherub has four faces and wings, while angels are wingless and also appear as men in the Bible. Although angels are usually portrayed as having wings and being sexless by those ignorant of the Bible, this is not true. First, we will look at some scripture about cherubims. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 10 with me, if you would. And let's look in Ezekiel chapter 10 at verses 20 and 21. This is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Kabar, and I knew that they were the cherubims. Every one had four faces apiece, and every one four wings. And the likeness of the hands of men of a man was under their wings. As for angels, they always show up as men. For example, two angels appeared as men to Lot and warned him of the coming destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19. Two more appeared as men at the tomb of Jesus in Luke 24, and yet another two as men in Acts 1 as the Lord ascended up into heaven. You will find more men as angels in Judges chapters 13 to 15 and Revelation chapters 21 to 22. They are always referred to as men or he. So we see from Scripture that there is a big difference between angels and cherubims. Angels are not females, do not have wings, and are not sexless. Now, seraphims are a little bit different than cherubims. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, and look together at verses 2 through 4. And we'll see something give us a description of seraphims. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Once again, these creatures are nothing like the men who appeared as angels. It is amazing that people accepted as fact so many things they have heard about the Bible that just do not line up with the scripture. People simply believe things they hear and pass it on without checking it out. That is why we are commanded to study the scriptures in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Now, we looked at a little bit of the origin of Satan. Let's look at his nature for a moment. By nature, Satan is a deceiver. We read the following in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. He is a counterfeit. The one he envies and tries to counterfeit the most is the Lord Jesus Christ. We read this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. We also see Satan desires worship. He was not satisfied with the great attributes and position God gave him. He wanted to be equal with God and thought himself worthy of worship. He is king over all the children of pride, according to Job chapter 41, verse 34. Satan is a false god because he is temporarily in control of this earth. He is called the god of this world. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. He is in the business to deceive and blind all that are lost, so they will never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He has many tricks in devices that he uses along with the world and the flesh to confuse, blind, and damn the lost. He is a thief. He will steal the word of God right out of your heart to keep you from being saved. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, we read the following. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. My dear friend Satan, he is a roaring lion. If you are already saved, He will do his best to destroy your Christian life. His goal is to ruin your fellowship with the Lord and to destroy your personal testimony to the world. The last thing the devil wants is for you to enjoy the fruits of the Spirit and be a happy, soul-winning Christian. He will stop at nothing to discourage and make you a miserable, backslidden child of God. We're told in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now let's look a little bit at the devil's devices, his devices. The devil has many tricks and devices, some of which have already been covered in our studies on the world and the flesh. But other than his personal power, his greatest weapon is that he is not working alone. You see, the devil has plenty of help. He is the prince of the air. He is the king over a multitude of other devils, unclean spirits, rulers of darkness, and the spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 tells us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Your protection against the devil and his workers of iniquity is the armor of God. Where do all these demons and unclean spirits come from? The Bible is not clear on their origin, but many scholars agree that they are disembodied spirits. In Mark chapter 1, verse 23, a devil is called an unclean spirit. There is speculation they could have originated from the pre-Adamic race that perished between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, or from the angels in Genesis 6 mating with women and animals on earth. Some believe they are fallen angels who rebelled against God with Lucifer. But this is unlikely because of the different way they are described in the Bible. Fact is, it doesn't really matter where they come from. We know they are real. Jesus recognized them on several occasions in the Gospels, and even spoke to them and cast them out. Another interesting thing was that when the demons were confronted by Jesus, they knew who he was. We read in Mark chapter 5, verse 7, "And cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." We know from Scripture these unclean spirits are intelligent beings with supernatural strength and knowledge. They can often actually predict the future and cause blindness, dumbness, insanity, and suicidal tendencies. A person can be possessed by thousands, as we see in Mark chapter 5, verse 9, at a time, and animals can be possessed, as found in Matthew 8, verse 32. Demons are described as winged creatures and likened to fowls of the air in Matthew 13, verse 4, Mark 4, verse 4, and Revelation 18, verse 2. There are also supernatural demonic creatures in physical form coming out of the bottomless pit in Revelation 9. It is not known if these can travel around in spirit form of not, but is a possibility. Many people are hindered and oppressed by these unclean spirits and don't even realize it. They can affect the body as well as the mind. Contrary to popular belief, they can rule a Christian as well as a lost person. If you are not filled with the Spirit of God, then there is room for something else, amen. Besides, you don't have to be demon-possessed if one is sitting on your shoulder leading you by suggestion. Unclean spirits are associated with excessive and compulsive crying, suicidal tendencies, opposition to God and godly people, depression, drugs, alcohol, unscriptural music, pornography, insanity, lying, hatred, witchcraft, divination, sorcery, necromancy, pretended communication with the dead, prognostication, magic, and false doctrines, to name a few. We are in a crucial time in history from a spiritual standpoint. In these last days, demonic activity is at an all-time high. These demons and unclean spirits are even in many churches. We read the following in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. They also control any and all religious groups that are not preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. We still have more to cover about the devil, but we're running out of time, and I don't want to rush through the material. But before we conclude today, in just a few seconds, you can join the family of God and miss the eternal lake of fire with the devil. If you want to be saved, first of all, acknowledge to God you are a sinner. Because of your sin, you deserve to die and go to the lake of fire and be with the devil. But if you believe Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose the third day to pay for your sins and secure you a home in heaven, and that you are trusting in Christ's shed blood and nothing else to save you, amen. Won't you talk to God in your own words and tell him that you believe that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, rose again, and that you're trusting in his shed blood and nothing else to save you? And if you've done that, then all you need to do is believe the promise of God's word is found in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. My dear friend, won't you be saved today? We've run out of time on the pastor's study. May God richly bless you, is my prayer. Until we meet again, God bless you.